Good morning, everybody. Morning. And thank you, Alyssa and Aaron, for that beautiful reading. It was perfect. Am I echoing? Oh, I don't like to go this way. I want to see everybody. So welcome to Palm Sunday and to our service. As I was just listening to the worship team and Helen talk about Baptist World Aid Ukraine and listening to Arash pray, just had a sense of gratitude to God for this church family. We've been through a lot this year. I am echoing still. What? Further down? Can you see me? Okay. No. Do I need the handheld mic? Okay. Someone said no, but I'm getting a nod from Heiss. Oh, I'll get a thesis on this later, won't I, Heiss? Something about my decibel level. All right, can you hear me? All right. So it is Palm Sunday, and probably most of you know what it is, but I will explain it to you. Is this okay? It's when Jesus, thank you, entered Jerusalem, and the Jewish crowd welcomed him by spreading their cloaks and coats and palm leaves on the road. And so this is why we call it Palm Sunday. And you might have noticed there are some palm leaves at the side, and they will be for us to throw on the road as I go through the story, as I walk us through the story. Can everyone see me? Okay, good. So this was supposed to be Jenny Clark's message, and because she's not here, I would just ask you to bear with me. I've massaged it and tried to make it my own, but yes. So why don't we pray? Dear Lord, we thank you for this day, this Palm Sunday, where we can celebrate your triumphal entry into Jerusalem. We ask, as we now listen to your word through me, that you would give us ears to listen and hearts to receive whatever it is you want to give us, whatever it is you want to lay in our hearts. We ask, Lord, that you would just fill us with your spirit at this time. And may my words be your words. In Jesus' name, amen. So, in Jerusalem came two processions. Closer? All right. So we know that, first of all, Jesus came into Jerusalem on this day, but there was another procession that came into Jerusalem on this day. So there were two. Thank you. One from the east and one from the west of Jerusalem. One was made up of everyday people, poor people, farmers, working class people, women and children. And the other parade from the other direction of Jerusalem was made up of soldiers and generals of the Roman Empire. This was an imperial parade. So, from the east, we have Jesus of Nazareth, and he rides in on a donkey from the Mount of Olives, cheered by followers, and he's followed by his disciples as well. And Jesus, as we know, is from the village of Nazareth, and his message is about the kingdom of God. His followers were mainly poor. They were farmers, peasants, working class people, all the people in his parade, in his procession. And what was this message of the kingdom of God that Jesus had come to proclaim? Does anyone know? Can anyone yell out? What was the message of the kingdom of God? Yeah, so in Mark, Jesus arrives and he says, "Repent, the kingdom of God is near." And in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus reads from the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me because he has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners and recovery of sight for the blind, to set the oppressed free, and to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." So Jesus and his procession proclaiming the good news of God's kingdom, that is justice for the poor and the exploited, freedom for the oppressed, healing for the broken. All these things that we prayed about today, that the mission of the month was about, these were things that were longed for back in Jesus' day. And he proclaimed the kingdom of God as freedom from all these injustices. Now, throughout the Gospels, the story of Jesus and the kingdom of God has been aiming for Jerusalem. They've been pointing toward Jerusalem always, and now it has arrived here. But then from the west, so we have east, Jesus and his procession of followers and the kingdom of God. And then from the west, we have Pontius Pilate on the opposite side of the city. And Pontius Pilate is the Roman governor of the region. He enters Jerusalem leading a long procession of soldiers on foot and on horseback. And this is to symbolize the power and authority of the Roman Empire. Now, when Jenny was going to do this, she actually had costumes and props and she was going to get everybody to dress up. But I won't do that because that's not me, and I don't think you want to do it either. So I'll leave that out. But this kind of procession was actually really well known back in Jesus' day. So for us today, it would be similar to if Joe Biden, the President of the United States, were to arrive in Sydney, or if Scott Morrison was going through Sydney and you have the motorcade, and you have the cars and the cops on secret police, not social security, secret police on their motorbikes, making sure nobody's going to shoot at the president or the prime minister. So back in those days, this was a common thing. During Jewish holidays or festivals, the Roman army would come with the governor to make sure there was no trouble around. So the aim of Pilate's soldiers was to support the Roman army that was stationed in the fortress Antonia. And this overlooked the Jewish temple and courts. So imagine this. We're not going to dress up, but if you could just imagine, there is an imperial procession arriving in the city from the west. And it's a visual display of power. Cavalry on horses, foot soldiers, leather armor, helmets and weapons, banners, golden eagles you can see there, mounted on poles. And you have the sun glinting on the metal and the gold. And then you hear the sounds, the very loud, the marching of the feet, the creaking of the leather, the beating of the drums, boom, boom, boom. Oh, I should have got Josh on the drums to do that part. sorry, Josh, and the swirling of the dust, and you have the, you know, the hoofs of the horses, and then the onlookers, some curious, some admiring, and some resentful, because these are the oppressors. So Pilate's procession not only shows imperial power, but according to Roman theology and doctrine, the emperor wasn't just the ruler of Rome. The emperor was considered by the Romans as the Son of God, as a representative of God. And so, as you can see, we have a clash or a war of two kingdoms and two kings. From the east, we have Jesus, the Son of God, proclaiming the kingdom of God, justice for the poor, freedom for the oppressed, healing for those who are broken. And from the west, we have Pilate representing the power and authority of the Roman Empire and of Caesar, who was not just the ruler of Rome, but also considered the Son of God. Two processions, two wars, clashes of two kingdoms that lead to Jesus' crucifixion. Now, as Jesus approaches the city from the east, he tells two of his disciples to go to the next village and get him a colt that they will find there. So a colt is a young male horse that's never been ridden before. So the disciples go to that village and surprise, surprise, they find that colt, that donkey, exactly where Jesus said it would be. And Jesus rides the colt down the Mount of Olives to the city, surrounded by this crowd cheering him. And they spread their cloaks and they throw these leafy branches on the road. So I'm going to invite now Jermaine and anyone else to pick up some palm leaves there and just throw them here on the road. And because no one's going to be dressing up as Jesus, we'll just imagine Jesus is coming from over there. Thank you. Anybody can do it. Oh, thanks, Dan. It's great throwing. So as they're throwing it, I'm going to invite everyone else to shout, "Hosanna to the Son of David." Everyone? Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And excellent. Thank you. Thank you for the leaves. Thank you for being such good sports. So this is what they did. And what does Hosanna mean? Do we know? Save us. Thank you, Martin, Pastor. Yes, save us. It's a prayer. It's a cry for help. Save us, Jesus, from oppression. Save us, Jesus, from war. Save us, Jesus, from poverty, from suffering, from pain. So it affirms their need for a savior. And it recognizes that we cannot save ourselves when we say Hosanna. And when the crowd shout Hosanna in the highest heaven, they're giving special honor to Jesus as the one who will save. And they call him the Son of David because the Messiah was predicted to come through the line of David. Look, it's hard to imagine that this same crowd that was cheering Jesus on and proclaiming him as the Son of God would be the same crowd that in less than a week would cry out, "Crucify him," to Jesus, "Crucify him." But Jesus continues entering Jerusalem knowing that this would happen because this is why he came. It is the Father's will. And so the timing, wrong one. The timing of Jesus' entry to Jerusalem is actually no surprise. It's a procession, a counter-procession, that was planned centuries ago. In Zechariah, as Alyssa read, it says a king would be coming to Jerusalem, humble and riding on a colt. That is a baby donkey. And then Zechariah goes on to predict that this king will banish all war from the land. There will be no more fighting, no more weapons, and that this king would command peace to the nations. He will be a king of peace. Now, the donkey, some of you may know, is actually an animal that symbolizes peace. And the horse in those days symbolized war. So Pilate rides in on a war horse, and Jesus from the east rides in on an animal of peace, a donkey. So Jesus' entry into Jerusalem was intentionally opposite to Pilate's procession. Jesus' procession embodied a different vision. It was a vision of inclusion, of humility and peace. It was a vision of the kingdom of God. This contrast between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of the world at the time is central to the gospel. But it's also central to our story today. Even before we started looking at this passage, we've listened to stories about Ukraine. We've prayed about things going on in the world. And we know that this clash, this war between two kingdoms continues in our everyday lives, in our homes, in our relationships, in our front lines. And every day we must choose to live either as God's people, living out the kingdom of God, or as people of the world. We must choose to live either by the Spirit or by the flesh, according to who Jesus is calling us to be, or according to who the world is calling us to be. Could be our family or our friends or our colleagues. So to Jerusalem came two different leaders from opposite directions, and Jesus proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God that will never end clashed with Pilate proclaiming the power of a human empire that would soon crumble. Jesus declared war against the world he lived in by proclaiming the kingdom of God through his life, his death, and his resurrection. And he continues to do so today through his Spirit in each one of us. So as we go into Easter, let us make a recommitment to Jesus and the kingdom that he came to proclaim, where the poor and exploited find justice, where the broken find healing, where the oppressed are set free. Let us recommit to live out the kingdom of God in our daily lives, not just by speaking the good news to those around us, but by being the good news. How can we be the good news? Well, we can do it in many ways. We could do it by giving a voice to the voiceless, speaking on their behalves. We can do it by demanding justice for those who have been mistreated, protesting against atrocities like Ukraine and many other wars going on around the world. We can do it by supporting organizations that do this, like Baptist World Aid, And we can also be the good news by offering friendship to those who most need it, to those in our church family, to those that we talk to at morning tea. Jesus came to proclaim the kingdom of God against the world that he lived in. Let us try and do the same. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we give you praise and thanks for the good God that you are. We thank you for Jesus who entered Jerusalem, even though he knew that a few days later he would be arrested and tried and crucified. Lord, we pray that we would be followers of Jesus during this time leading up to Easter, that we would make this recommitment to be the good news of Jesus at home, at work, during the holidays, in our front lines. We pray your Spirit would be constantly speaking to us, Jesus, and that we would always be listening, making the right choice to live out your kingdom, Lord, here on earth, rather than that of the world we live in. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.